Blog Talk Radio.
From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Sin Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you. So call in 917-889-3068. That's a USA number. So if you're in Mexico, add the plus. Or if it's easier, just email us, musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners to the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates and the Artistic Echoes network and also Canalside Radio in the UK, as well, of course, as everybody right here on BlogTalkRadio.com. If you have questions or comments of our guests, call us, or if you are listening to us on a podcast, you're listening to us in England, or you can't call us, musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. So we will get your question. We'll read it on the air. And also, we can forward questions to our guests so they can react directly to you. And as always, remember, we are in Mexico, which is joyfully musical. Our studio is downtown, and our soundproofing is pretty good, but you may still hear the, you know, the odd gas truck, marching band, horses, or just plain people coming out of the bar across the street and singing. All right. Well, I was lucky enough to see our next guest live at the Lake Chapala Society's annual mariachi festival. Now, the festival highlighted three mariachis, one from Los Angeles, who added dance and strolling violins, that's a Grupo Bella, and they caught my eye. So I invited them to join us. Grupo Bella is an almost all-female band that uses mariachi instruments to perform different styles of music and to add a modern twist to mariachi music while still preserving its essence, which is not an easy thing to do. Wait, I think I hear something. Nope. We're waiting for our guest to call in, and I thought maybe that was it, but it isn't. But we'll get them, don't worry. So they do everything authentically from traditional mariachi to bolero, son jarocho, huasteco, as well as they do Mexican pop and American classics and tropical music and salsa and cumbia and all that stuff. And their performances are stunning. They have custom-made traditional dresses, beautiful harmonies, authentic instruments, and dancing. Their debut album, Así Suena, is now available, and we have with us today, in a minute, not yet, in a minute, we're going to have with us two of the members. But right now, I want to play a little bit of music from that album. This is La Guacamaya by Grupo Bella.
Guacamaya, que lástima me da, pobrecita Guacamaya.
That was La Guacamaya by Grupo Bella, and they are here with us today. We have Vanessa Ramirez and Michael Tejeda of Grupo Bella. Welcome to Music Scene Frontiers. We're really glad to have you on the air with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we've gotten some emails already from our audience, and they want to know a little bit. And this is mostly from our audience on the East Coast of the United States and Canada. And they're asking, how is it that an authentic mariachi band doesn't come from Mexico, but from Los Angeles? So maybe you should tell us a little bit about the mariachi culture in LA and how you became part of it.
Okay, so most of us started, most of us are Mexican American, so born in the United States, but with Mexican parents. So it's very much part of our culture and like the music that we grew up with. And we're very fortunate that here in California, there's mariachi in most schools. You can take mariachi as an actual class in middle school or high school. I, for example, started in high school, and that's how I really fell in love with the music that I grew up with, but that I wasn't really interested in when I was younger, per se. And then Michael started in school, I think.
Yeah, I started in high school also. I actually started singing. I was recruited by a brand new high school. They started a mariachi class, and they wanted. I knew the teacher who was going to teach the class, and he was like recruiting people and recruited me as a singer. And then after like 2 years or something, I wanted to learn harp. And my mom's cousin actually played harp in Mexico. My grandfather's from Mexico City, so his nephew played with famous groups over there back in the 60s and 70s. And I just wanted to learn it, and I was like, okay, I'm finally going to learn an instrument, and that's what I picked.
I'll be darned. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles and went to high school and grammar school there, and they weren't teaching mariachi when I was a kid. I guess I just came a little too early. Well, you guys are really fortunate. And I want to remind our right? Yeah, I know, it may be not too late. I'm actually learning to play the cajon, which is not a mariachi instrument, but it still has its uses.
So you can always join us.
Yeah, we started with mariachi, but we play a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
We like to mix it up.
Okay. All right. Well, next week I'm going to start a local class in flamenco cajon and see if I can figure that one out, which requires the fingers as well as the hand. You know, I don't
right.
know that yet. Yeah. Right.
Let me remind. Flamenco.
Yeah. And, of course, this is now Mexican flamenco, which is different than Spanish flamenco. Let me remind our audience that mariachi actually began in Mexico in the 18th century with some basic instruments, the guitarrón, that's the really big, fat guitar, violins, guitar, harp. And then later on, it evolved and regionalized, and it added horns and some places even accordions. So... but I understand that you all, that Grupo Bello, sticks pretty much to the original instruments. Is that correct?
Yes, but not with the intent of just sticking to traditional music. It just kind of happened to be an all-string band mainly. But we are closer to the traditional mariachi style, being that we don't have any trumpets, but we do explore into like different genres. Because you can still play a lot of different styles of music with the instrumentation that we have. And although we love and we're trying to preserve traditional music, we also love new music, and we're also inspired by new sounds and artists that, you know, have nothing to do with the folk world. So we kind of combine the two.
Well, you know, and I've seen you do it too, and you do it very well. And I also saw that you, at least when you played here, when I saw you live, you featured the zapateado, the dance, which
yes.
looks a little bit like flamenco, but is totally Mexican. Was that always part of your repertoire?
It was always something that we were interested in from the start, because Michael and I do we're independent ethnomusicologists, so we travel to Mexico and we go into the little towns and we speak to the local musicians and we learn from them. And we saw a common denominator anywhere we went with Huasteco, Son Jarocho, Tierra Caliente and Michoacán. Like, they all had this common denominator, and it was the tarima, the tabla, where they would dance on it while the musicians And usually it's the actual musicians that dance and play. So we knew that that was something that we wanted to incorporate eventually. But to be honest, none of us have a dance background. And in mariachi, how we started, they don't really teach you to be a dancer, you know, at the same time as you're learning to play music. So we had to, like, kind of, like, do our own little research. And now it's something that we really want to showcase because it's an art that has been lost. And it definitely does tie up to flamenco. Everything's tied up. So everything's, for example, Mexican music is very Spanish influence from...
Mm-hmm. It has a lot of both Spanish influence, African influence, and indigenous influence. Those are the three main factors that create any type of Mexican folk music in almost any region. But we actually started going to, we've gone, I think, 2 years now to an encuentro in Guadalajara. A lot of people know that they have a huge mariachi festival, but they actually have two festivals around that, and one of them is a traditional mariachi festival, which they incorporate different regional styles from that coast of Mexico. And we created a lot of friends, and we did a lot of research and got to know people. And we, in our experience from, and you know, going to these fandangos, which are parties, and like they have music and singing and dance. You know, a lot of people tell us, and you know, dance is a huge part of it. You know, it goes hand in hand. You don't have the music without the dance. And they were telling us, like, you guys should, you know, try and incorporate dance into your group. Like, it'll, you know, bring a little bit of that fandango to your performance.
And they did tell us that if you want to play or be closer to playing real traditional music, you have to, as a musician, also dance, because it's a huge part of it. It's that percussive touch that you need within traditional music. And I think it was removed for the modern mariachi that we know now with trumpets because of the movie era and the Época de Oro. And it was just too much. It was too loud to be like stomping while people are trying to act and all that. So I think it was removed from that, and it was modernized. And it's an art that has been lost. But I wanted to have Lonel, the guest dancer that we have, and his girlfriend come in and dance with us, because I wanted to show people in Ajijic that is an art that is very much still alive in Mexico. It's just we don't really see it in the States, but in Mexico it's very, very alive. It's just not a lot of people know about it.
Well, it is very alive here in Mexico. I was at La Cochera Cultura last weekend for a flamenco, and in addition to the flamenco dancer who was from Morales, I think, there were a couple of Spaniards, young kids who were just traveling, but they were also flamenco dancers, and the director of the program pulled them up on stage, even though they were wearing hiking boots, and they had a great time. And I actually first saw the Zapateado in Los Angeles with the band Las Capeteras, who does San Jorocho hip-hop rock jazz. I don't know if you've ever seen them. If you haven't, you should. And they incorporate the dance in there too. So it is very, very important. And your music is very danceable just by itself. And I want to show our audience just how danceable it is. Now, we played a little bit of La Guacamaya from your debut album, Así Suena, but I want to play a little bit more. And this time our audience can listen to how easy it is to dance to.
Oh, awesome.
Guacamaya, ay,
Now, that's a lot of danceable energy there. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that song? I know a lot of people have recorded it, but your recording is unique. How did you approach it when you decided you wanted to do that song?
Well, that's a son jarocho, which is, you know, traditional music from Veracruz. Again, that's, you know, that is very harp. You know, the harp is very the foreground in that song. Traditionally in son jarocho, you have a harp. A jarana is actually the main instrument of son jarocho. It's the rhythm, it's the chords, it's, you know, the feel of the music. And the other, probably the second most important instrument is the requinto jarocho. Different places in Veracruz, like depending on where you're at, they'll play it slightly different. It's a different feel, different rhythm, different instrumentation. We feature the violin on that song, which actually is also an older traditional an instrument in son jarocho, but it kind of died out after a while, and harp kind of became like the more famous instrument or more well-known instrument in the genre of son jarocho. We play that song. It's pretty we stick to the style of son jarocho that was created by musicians like Andres Huesca, Lino Chavez, who are famous musicians who brought it to Mexico City, put it in movies and that style. They were very advanced musicians. They played outside of their genre. They played different styles. But they created this style that was very more flashy. Yeah, it was fast-paced, flashy. It was good for performing in theaters. And they became very famous and toured all over the world. That's kind of who we got our influence from when, you know, playing that style.
Cool. And I've been to the Mariachi Festival in Guadalajara. And, of course, mariachis in Los Angeles and here in Ajijic. And I noticed that there are some songs that you always have to play. The audience demands it. And I actually asked my friend Nancy Sanchez in Los Angeles, who plays with her father's mariachi band when she's not singing jazz, if she would send me a list of songs that everybody wants so my wife and I could memorize the lyrics and sing along. And that was one of them. So I was very... So when you started playing, I said, I know that song. I know that song. Well, the album, Así Suena, is, and incidentally, feel free to correct my Spanish whenever you feel like it, because I know I don't have it down yet, is a mix of classic songs like that one. And you also have ballads and original songs and others. Did the whole band have to sit down and decide what songs you wanted to put on this this album, or did somebody just say, this is where it's going to be?
I'm going to be completely honest. We have been wanting to record an album for a couple of years now because our followers and our supporters are always asking for us to record. So it's something that we've been wanting to do. It's been on our minds for about 3-4 years, but we've been busy, and then we never found the time to record or to get down to it, because it's also really expensive to do it, to put something good out there, you know. And I woke up one day and I checked my email and the Grupo Bella, like the social media outlets, and I got so many emails and so many requests for our CD, and they kept saying, you know, when is the CD going to come out? And so... something just sparked in me, and I said, you know what, we need to record, like, now, you know. But we didn't have the budget to record, like, something, you know, like, how we would want to. So I decided to record live. That's the most budget-friendly option to do.
Yeah.
But it's also really hard to do a live recording because you're all recording at the same time, like, old school, you know. Like,
yeah.
And...
Mm-hmm.
It also tied down well, so we kind of chose the songs based on that. A lot of the music that we love and that we listen to and that we learn from was recorded live, you know, back in the day. Everybody, all the musicians in one room, and if one messes up, you have to start all over, you know, that type of thing. So I called the band, and I sent a text to everyone. I said, hey, we're recording in a week from now. So these are the 10 songs that we're doing. Okay, just And I chose songs that we play all the time, that people love, that they know us for. So I kind of just told them, like, we're going to go in the studio and we're going to just, like, play things, like, if we're playing a gig. Because I was confident that those songs would sound good because we play them all the time. They're just, like, ingrained in us. You know, those are the songs that we, no matter where you see us play, we're going to play those songs.
Okay,
so
all right.
So it kind of happened like that.
You know, recording live has a certain amount of energy to it. I've sat in on a number of sessions like that. And yes, they can be a pain if somebody goofs up. But on the other hand, sometimes things happen that are even better than what you thought. So, and I think that this album came out pretty well now that I've heard the story of it. Speaking of the whole band together, you describe Grupo Bella as an all-female mariachi almost. And as we're hearing, your harp player is very much a man. Michael, were you always part of the band, or did you join an all-girl band after it was already going?
I joined the group after it was already founded. I think it's one of those things. I've always played in different groups, and I always idolized and looked up to a lot of female artists my whole life. Being a singer, I looked up to a lot of female, you know, singers. I actually started in singing R&B when I was little, and that's kind of, you know, I would learn from a little bit of everybody, but, you know, I feel like especially in R&B, a lot of the better singers are actually, in my opinion, female.
Absolutely.
And so I would learn from that, and I actually never thought, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, join a female group someday. It just, everything happened very organically. I actually met Vanessa at a Fandango, which is, like, I always love saying that because it always ties back to what our passion is, which is, you know, Mexican music. And I had been playing Son Jarocho for a long time, and I met her at this party. We became friends, and it just organically, one time she was like, hey, you want to join the group? And that was that.
And, of course, I take it that Vanessa, that you had no problems becoming an all-female band, almost.
No, and you know what? I always tell the story that, like, me having an all-female band before Michael was not for the purpose of having an all-female band, you know? Even though we do love getting those comments of, like, girl power and all that stuff, we do support that. But it wasn't intentional. It just kind of happened to be that my favorite musicians in L.A. and that were also my friends and that were, like, you know, happy to join this project that I started, happened to be female. It just kind of happened like that. But I was never, like, excluding men or, you know what I mean? So when I met Michael, it was, like, a natural thing. I met him, and we spoke about our – it was just – we just had instant chemistry, personality-wise, and then musically, we shared a lot of the same vision in what we wanted to do with music and Mexican traditional music. So I really love that he was really, really into traditional music just like I was, but was also open to, you know, fusion and learning and combining two things, you know, old with new and all, and creating new music too. So
love it.
I it was a no-brainer for me. I was like, I have to ask him to be in the group.
Well, I'm really glad you did. And just as a side note to our audience who may not know it, mariachis were originally all male, but since the 1940s, women have been playing in mariachi, and there are several all-female bands, and some have actually won Latin Grammy Awards, like Flor de Taloche last year. So this is not unusual. As you know better than I, since we're talking about authentic mariachi, there is a lot of discussion in the mariachi community about authentic pure mariachi and modern evolved mariachi. You know, bands like Mariachi Manchester, which is also in L.A., have kicked off some pretty heated discussions. So where do you stand? Must mariachi be pure like it was in the 18th century, or has it always been evolving and always will evolve?
I feel like, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, obviously, but I think that mariachi, we don't really know what traditional mariachi is, because tradition keeps changing over time, right? So we only know, like, well, right now in this era, we're able to, like, know farther back because we were able to record. So what we're doing right now, you know, our, you know, future kids or youth musicians are going to be able to see what we we're doing now because we have the ability to record and do all that. But I feel like in Grupo Bella, we like to do our research. We like to learn from, like, the main, you know, sources first. Like, I guess you would call it the traditional groups. And then from there, kind of create our own, you know, rendition of the songs and kind of add our own flavor to it. Because one thing that I have learned and that I came to peace with that I wasn't before. Before, I used to go do research and I used to tell myself, okay, I want to learn Son Jarocho. I need to go to Veracruz. I need to speak to the people that, you know, the oldest man that is still there playing Son Jarocho, or because I want to play it exactly like them. And that really helped me a lot to understand what they do. But I also realized that I'm never going to be able to play the music like them because I don't live there. I didn't grow up with that, you know, lifestyle. So I feel music differently. Even if I'm copying exact notes, exact phrasing, I'm never going to sound like that because I feel differently. And I'm okay with that now. And I think that Grupo Bella, it's kind of like we're experimenting right now with, you know, old sounds and new things, creating new music, using different instrumentation even. So we're not against, like, fusion or, you know, evolution music by all means. But we do respect the traditional music, and that's something that we love. And we,
yeah, and I think that's something that it is very much a delicate subject sometimes, because we have met a lot of people who, or, you know, have got comments or whatever from people who are very much traditionalist. But I think that's why, you know, Vanessa put, you know, calls it Grupo Bella, because it's not really putting, you know, a title on, or, you know, putting us in a box or saying that we just play mariachi. You know, like, we can play like a jazz song, and it wouldn't be a mariachi playing a jazz song. It would be Grupo Bella playing a jazz song.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Michael, that Michael was pointing out. I forgot to mention that when I started Grupo Bella, it was only three of us. And I wanted to remove the title mariachi for that reason. That was the intention behind that. I knew that although I love mariachi and I started my musical career through mariachi, I'm always very curious and hungry to learn, you know, different styles of music and different genres. I listen to jazz, bossa nova, flamenco, just so many genres out there, fado, and all those genres that I listen to outside of mariachi are what have shaped me to the musician that I am now. So I definitely want to eventually incorporate all those things that I love to Grupo Bella. And I think we are doing that slowly. You know, we're not in a hurry, but it's something that we definitely are going to, you know, on our way to doing. But also never losing touch of, like, the Mexican folk music that we do, because that is what brought us together, and that's our main focus.
Well, it seems like Grupo Bella could do just about everything it puts its mind to pretty darn well. And I want to give our audience a sample of what that sounds like. This is Vieira del Rio, and this is also from the album. Here we go. Wow. Boy, that is just absolutely marvelous. And just, I could listen to that all day. And in fact, during this week, I did listen to that all day when I wrote the review of the album. I want to remind our audience real quickly that we are talking with Vanessa Ramirez and Michael Tejada of the band Grupo Bella. And you can talk with them too. You can email us. You can phone in. The email is listed on our website, and so is the phone calls. And right now, we do have a bunch of emails, so I want to turn to those emails. The first one is from Cynthia in Boyle Heights. I bet you know that well.
She wants to know, our neighbor.
Oh yeah, she wants. And Cynthia wants to know: do you ever play here? Have you ever played at the East Side Love, or is it too small for a mariachi?
Yes, we actually have played at East Side Love many times. We're trying to figure out our next date on where to play there. So, of course, anybody can follow us on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, under Grupo Bella, and they can see wherever we're playing next. Along with that, we actually play at different restaurants locally, so they can like find out where we're at. Because we're always playing somewhere, we're doing shows or something.
But the East Side Love, we highly recommend it. We're actually trying to bring the Fandango community to the States, and we encourage people to get on stage with us, like Coyote Ugly style on top of the bar, and dance up apateados and sones, and it gets crazy in a good way.
Yeah.
So we love playing at East Side Love. Shout out to them. So we're trying to figure out our next date. It should be sometime in February. We usually play there like once a month or once every other month on a Wednesday night.
For our Los Angeles audience who doesn't know East Side Love, it's a wine. It calls itself a wine bar, but they have plenty of other things too. But it's real long and narrow. Booze on one side of the wall, and on the other, and then there's a passageway that you can squeeze maybe two people through, and then there's a high bar which originally was built for strippers. I don't know if you know that.
Okay.
All right.
Fun fact.
They don't do that anymore. I think they may actually do burlesque on Sundays. But the for my audience who hasn't been there, you really should go there. It's right next to the plaza, and the band have to stand on the bar to play. And I've never seen you there. I've never seen a mariachi there. And I'm trying to visualize in my mind how you can put the whole mariachi band and dancers on that bar. And next time in LA, if you're playing, I definitely want to go. And I recommend to all of our listeners in Los Angeles that you look up East Side Love, find the date they're there, get there early because it's very small and it gets crowded. And if you get hungry, incidentally, you're on a weekend night, the best tacos in LA are at the stand right across the street, and they're only $2. For three of them.
Oh,
okay. All right. We have another email here. Miguel in New York. Do you ever play Afro-Cuban songs with a mariachi twist? That's interesting.
Yes, we do. There's songs that we've played before, like El Cuarto de Tula. We've done, what else? We've done a couple of others. It's just that our repertoire changes every year. So we kind of leave like some songs in the back burner, but we always bring them back. But yeah, definitely we love Afro-Cuban son. That's something that we really, really love. I'm a big fan of like Celia Cruz and La Sonora Matancera, Sonora Punteña. That's something that we really love too. We're not too familiar with it as musicians. Like we haven't really gone to play like Tres Cubano and those type of instruments, but we would love to learn.
Okay. Sonale in Atlanta wants to know, have you ever played in the South or at South By? There is a Mexican culture down here now, you know.
I mean, I believe, is Tennessee considered the South?
Very much so, yes.
Yeah. We did play in Tennessee. What city was it?
I cannot remember the city.
It had a
really... Like not a very familiar name.
Yeah, I forgot what name.
But we stopped in Nashville.
Yeah, we went to Nashville. We went to the what's it called? The distillery where they make Jack Daniels. They have a folk festival over there. Different types of music from all over the world.
It's a dance festival actually.
Oh yeah,
but they like to have live music.
Yeah, and they hired us, a company, a dance group from here in LA, And yeah, we went there once. We were there for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we got to know Tennessee. It's so green over there. It's really beautiful.
Okay, all right. I'm going to hold off on any more emails because we've actually answered most of the questions of the emails that have been coming in. I have a question, though, about this. Is, you know, mariachi is a regional music in Mexico. You know better than I do. And it's spread all over the world, as you've pointed out. Does Grupo Bella represent all of the regional mariachis in Mexico, or did you focus on one or two? And have you ever blended music from multiple regions?
I think it's really hard to represent all of the traditional regions of Mexico because there's so many that don't really get a lot of like attention. Because a lot of people focus on like Jarocho and Huasteco. That's like the most known, you know, at least here in the States. But there's so many out there. But it is our goal to play a little bit of everything. And that's going to take time and research. And for Michael and I, and as a group, that's a goal that we have now to like take research trips as a group so we can all see, you know, different genres and regions of Mexico.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting part is that, like, say, I was saying even in Son Jarocho, and you know, every region is like that where, say, Son Jarocho is from the state of Veracruz, it actually also bleeds into the state of Oaxaca. But depending on where you're at in that region, the style will change slightly. And it's the same thing with, like, mariachi music, you know. Like, in the festival in Guadalajara, the traditional mariachi one, it goes all the way from, like, the north, like, from Zacatecas down to in the state of Guerrero. And
mm-hmm.
it's all different styles of music, and there's so much. It's so rich in, like, style that we're always trying to, like, you know, learn different stuff. And this stuff that we have learned and, like, we've met people who play these styles, it's just it's a lot. And little by little, we're trying to add more and more to represent, you know.
Yeah,
different.
And it's something very complex to do when you do research. Us, that we've been doing this for a couple of years, you can't just go to Michoacán and say, go to one city of Michoacán and just think you know everything about that region because you went and learned from, like, a certain, you know, region. There's so many things to learn from, like, different styles within each state. So it's really complex to, like, learn everything, but we're trying.
Well, in terms of learning things, because we're getting a little tight on time here, we've got a number of emails that ask about some musical instruments that you mentioned, Michael, the jarana and the requinto. Really quickly, in a minute or less, tell us what those two instruments are.
Yeah, those are traditional Son Jarocho instruments, which, you know, like I said, Son Jarocho comes from the state of Veracruz and also Oaxaca. Depending on where you're at in Veracruz, you'll find a different, ensemble, like a different combination of instruments within the ensemble. It's almost always at least a requinto jarocho and a jarana jarocha, which the jarana is, they come in various sizes as well, but it's what provides the rhythm and chords into the Son Jarocho, the music. And the requinto jarocho is a plucked, guitar, and it's usually about four strings, and both are tuned very differently traditionally from, you know, guitar, but the requinto's role is to provide the melody, and you can hear my friend, our friend Tomas Herrera, who I've known for a very long time, and he got to study with very, like, famous and very well-known and just amazing musicians in Mexico, including Lino Chavez. He studied with people who play song Huasteco, but you can hear him play on CPCD and on La Guacamaya.
So that explains to our listeners what those two instruments are. And, of course, another instrument that shows up occasionally is the donkey's jawbone. But we don't have time to go into this, and I recommend to our listeners that they find a band that plays that, and Las Cafeteras is a really good example, but you probably know some others, and get to know those instruments. Now, your album is out. It's on Apple Music. It's on Amazon.com. It's on Spotify. I noticed you've got 10,000 streams already on Spotify. You must be pretty happy.
Yeah, we are happy. We like dropped it one night, and then it just people started reposting it, and I mean, we couldn't ask for anything more. We want to create music that makes you sing along, that makes you want to dance, that makes you feel happy, just how we've been, you know, how we feel when we listen to the music that we love, traditional music.
Well, you're back from Mexico now. You've launched the album, Así Suena. So what do you got going now? Do you have a tour lined up to promote the album? Are you going to try to record more songs? What does the future hold?
Oh yeah, so fun fact, we decided to drop this album. We recorded it live because we literally went in the studio and we recorded in one day. So that was it, you know. Not a lot of editing, nothing, like just we did that. With the idea to raise money for our 2020 CD. So we are recording a new album that we should be dropping by the end of this year. And we have a lot of things coming up. We're going to be opening up for Los Lobos in Bisbee, Arizona on May 8th. Ooh. In March, we're playing at the San Gabriel Mission here in Los Angeles. And we're going to be accompanying Natsumi, a harpist from Japan. So we have a lot of things coming up. We're going to be in Cancun in the summer. So anybody that wants to join us for our local performances here in Los Angeles, please go to our Instagram. Just type in Grupo Bella, Facebook, everything. Just Grupo Bella everywhere.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out from such a busy schedule to be with us today. It's really been a pleasure. And when the next album comes out, let us know, all right?
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. You have been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStationUSA.com network, the BlogTalkRadio.com network, and our radio affiliates, all those stations out in the East Coast that are going to hear us later tonight. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feed, and you'll get an update on who next week's guest is going to be. We have a number of people we're talking to. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. You can download this and other Music Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com, or you can find us on iTunes. You can download us on iTunes, too. Next week, we've got, like I said, we're talking to a couple of other great artists, one of whom is a Latin Grammy winner, so we will let you know on our Twitter feed and on our Facebook page, so just follow us. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. That's a tener un gran fin de semana musical. And we're going to leave you with a little more music from Grupo Bella. We're going to leave you with Nunca Suficiente. Here we go. Nunca Es Suficiente by Grupo Bella. We will see you all next week.